If you listen to my programs regularly, you know that climate change is one of my top concerns. It's not the only one, though, especially when I read news items telling of children as young as 7 who feel the need to flee their countries to survive. The news item I'm referring to regards Zimbabwe in southern Africa, where economic crisis, hunger, and the impact of AIDS are pushing groups of hungry, tired, and often orphaned children to cross the dangerous border with South Africa in hope of food, work, or schooling. Probably this news is particularly hard-hitting because it's children we're talking about. In actual fact, millions of Zimbabweans have left their homes in the country that was once regarded as a beacon of democracy and prosperity in Africa. Those left are faced with a daily struggle with hunger and poverty and living in fear of a government that has become a brutal dictatorship. I decided to find out more from a Zimbabwean exile herself, someone who is keeping the independent voice of Zimbabwe alive as she broadcasts to her countrymen on shortwave radio from a secluded location in London. The only way to do so, as the government of Robert Mugabe does not tolerate any voice that is different to its own.
My name is Jerry Jackson, and I'm the station manager and founder of SW Radio Africa, which is the independent voice of Zimbabwe. We broadcast from the UK because independent radio is not allowed in our country.
The first thing I'd like to do, I thought to myself, is get a picture of SW Radio Africa. Who works there? I asked Jerry. Are you all from Zimbabwe?
Yes, all the staff are Zimbabwean except our webmaster, but he's married to a Zimbabwean, so that's why we allow him to be with us.
Are you allowed back into the country?
No. We're on a banned list. I'm particularly on the banned list because I challenged the Zimbabwe government's monopoly of the broadcasting situation in Zimbabwe in 2000 and won the right to set up the first independent radio station there. But the government closed it down at gunpoint after 6 days, and I had to go into hiding for a while. So that was really the impetus to come over here and set this up.
I was clearly talking to a brave and motivated woman. I asked her to tell me more about what brought about the founding of SW Radio Africa.
As I said, in 2000, I took the Zimbabwe government to the Supreme Court to challenge their broadcasting monopoly and won the right to set up Capital Radio, which was going to be the country's first independent FM radio station. But we were still doing test signals when they shut it down after 6 days at gunpoint, and they seized the equipment and they seized the transmitter, and I was advised to go into hiding by the lawyers. And it became clear from that that independent radio was not going to be allowed. Mugabe had actually used his presidential powers to overturn the Supreme Court ruling. And in fact, a case around this continues at the African Union Commission on Human Rights. Article 19 have helped me put a case together to challenge the unconstitutionality of that closure. But that was very clear that we were never going to be allowed to broadcast in Zimbabwe, so I looked around at alternatives, and the alternative was to leave, sadly. There was no other choice. And so SW Radio Africa began broadcasting on the 19th of December 2001.
You left, obviously leaving your family and your friends behind, and you've never been able to go back.
That's correct, and sadly that's true for a quarter of the Zimbabwe population. There's an estimated 4 or 5 million Zimbabweans out of the country. There's 11 million in country. And our whole community has been scattered. And this has a profound effect on people, and I'm only now beginning to realize what the word exile means, and it's a breakdown of your community and your society and your support systems, and it makes it very hard.
Now, I read the news every day, and more often than not, I'm forced to look for news on Zimbabwe in the back and most definitely out-of-sight pages. I have the feeling that notwithstanding the dramatic ongoing situation there, Zimbabwe is rather forgotten by the rest of the world. I asked Jerry if she thinks that's true.
To a certain extent, I mean, it's very much in the public eye at the moment on British television. People have been sneaking in and with hidden cameras getting pictures out. It's a bit like the North Korean situation. It's very difficult. And it's the visuals that tell the story. And there have been few visuals coming out of Zimbabwe, and deliberately Mugabe, you know, clamp down on the media, the international media, and you're beaten if you pick up a camera. Even the BBC is not allowed to operate in Zimbabwe. And it's a country of just simmering misery, so you haven't got the great dramatic bombs going off that television seems to love. It's just profound, tragic human misery, and that's not a daily news story.
Jerry, getting back to the radio, what is your mission?
Our mission, sounds like a TV series, is to try and keep Zimbabweans fully informed of the situation. They are misled by the propaganda in the government media on a daily basis, and it's pretty wicked and evil propaganda. It tries to stir up a lot of racism, a lot of tribalism. If you're not on the side of the ruling party, then you deserve to be beaten. There's a lot of hate speech that comes out in the media and perpetrated by Mugabe himself and all his top echelon. So we try and counteract that, and we try and bring some hope to Zimbabweans, because there's nothing worse than to lose hope. Then you can't carry on, and Zimbabwe has to carry on. And there are many people there who can't do anything, who can't leave, don't have a passport, don't have the money, they're stuck. They have to carry on, so we try and give them some hope. And we try and inform them, because I think as long as you feel you know what's going on, that's got to be a lot better than the terrible rumors that tend to go around in Zimbabwe.
It must be hard to work so far away. I mean, do you really know who you're getting through to? Do you ever get any feedback? Don't you feel isolated and maybe sometimes very fatigued by the situation?
I suppose we are slightly isolated, but we do actually know more about what's going on the ground on a daily basis than Zimbabweans do. And it's like deja vu, because that was true of the Rhodesian days. The international media knew more about the situation in Rhodesia than the people living there. And 30 years on, it hasn't changed. And Zimbabweans have become like their own correspondents. So we get a lot of feedback. We're on the phone to Zimbabwe all the day. We get, with the internet now, we get emails all day. And the new media has been an interesting way to try and get more and more information backwards and forwards. We started recently an SMS text service, so we send news headlines into Zimbabwe by mobile phone as well every single day. So I don't think we're that isolated. It's a bit of a lonely cause, and sometimes the stories are very depressing, and it's quite hard to maintain your sense of humor when you're just focused on such daily tragedies.
Looking at your webpage, I see you recently featured a report on the Archbishop of York calling on Britain to take action against Mugabe. And you also mentioned to me that your radio has a religious program. Can you tell me a little bit about it?
Yes, well, we're very fortunate in that our webmaster is a theologian, and he runs our religious program on Sundays. And it was hugely welcomed, because there hasn't been a proper religious program on state media in Zimbabwe for many, many years. And people, it's a very Christian country. A lot of people go to church, and they really welcome this program. So it's a very interesting program for our webmaster to do. And a lot of key issues are being raised through the church. And the church has been unbelievably supportive to ordinary Zimbabweans. If it wasn't for the churches, people would be in a much, much more sorrowful and sadder state. There's been huge support. There's a Methodist church in South Africa. It's one of the few areas where Zimbabwean refugees can go for refuge. And there are 3 million Zimbabweans in South Africa, many of them living very, very badly.
At the risk of sounding banal, as we spoke of such an all-embracing situation of misery, I couldn't help but ask Jerry what her own hopes are for the future.
I really do feel that these are the first steps on the road to democracy. There has never been democracy in Zimbabwe. What we are trying to do is get Zimbabweans to think, to open their minds, to free their minds, because the government controls their minds, so that they can look forward and they can say, we're not going to allow this type of government ever again. And so there is going to be an end to Robert Mugabe's rule. He's 83 years old and no one lives forever. So things will change. And we can only hope that what's happened in Zimbabwe has been such a tragic, awful lesson that people will ensure that it won't happen again. And that's what I'm hoping for. And I'm hoping that that's going to happen sooner rather than later.
Our conversation had come to an end, and I wish Jerry all the luck in the world. Is there anything, I asked as an afterthought, ordinary people can do to help?
Well, I think it wouldn't hurt if people would pray for Zimbabwe. It is such a sad situation, and the individual stories are not coming out, so you just have this sort of group feeling of misery. And it's the individual stories that are so sad and so tragic. And there's individually amazing bravery. Grandmothers trying to support dozens of HIV orphans and just struggling along. And so if people could pray for Zimbabwe, that would be very good.